get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Hello and welcome. Sorry for the delay in podcast episodes if you are a regular listener, but I had a disruption in my life. If you haven't heard, my home burned down. Everyone's okay, but been dealing with that, and I was not really ahead in these podcasts and everything. I will be talking about that quite a bit more in an upcoming episode. Don't quite have that planned out, but I have been posting about it, writing a little bit about the lessons already learned. I mean, this ties into mental and emotional health and kind of the physical foundation of your life and where you live and all that. So I will be talking about that more in the future. But I already had this interview recorded with Don and wanted to jump right in and get this one out there. Dawn Sylvester is a vital and strong 50-plus gal despite her diagnosis with low thyroid. As a gym owner and women's health and wellness coach in the biz for 20-plus years, Dawn coaches women on how to live with vitality, strength, and to empower themselves with smart choices to help them feel, move, and look better at every age. So if you're interested in longevity, if you're interested in thyroid, then this is going to be a great interview for you. Let's dive in. Welcome, Dawn. Great to have you here.
All right. Great to be here, Logan.
So I want to start with your story a little bit. You can give the Cliff's Notes version, but how you went from, I mean, fit person and everything, but the low thyroid, which is the plague of so many people now, as we'll get into. Yeah, share your story.
Oh, well, yeah, it could be a long one, but I will try to share the Cliff Notes. It took the biggest issue, like you have already mentioned, was that it took me so long to be diagnosed with a thyroid disorder. The craziest thing was my mother was diagnosed when she was 40. It took me about 10 years to get diagnosed because I think they almost practically profiled me, where if you see me, I'm very petite. I'm pretty energetic. So, you know, 5 feet tall, gaining 12 pounds in 6 weeks, to mostly any other woman wouldn't be that big of a deal. But when you're 5 feet tall, it doesn't have a lot of places to spread out. And then when I find myself pulling over in the morning after dropping my son off at school because I almost want to fall asleep, well, someone tells me you work out too much or you need more rest or this or that. And I'm like, no, I've had a pretty decent lifestyle and I had already been in the fitness and wellness industry for years. So going to a doctor, then going to a wellness practitioner, an integrative this, and it was a battle. And, you know, that famous line, well, your thyroid numbers are on the fence kind of a thing. It just led me to dead ends, which made me start digging deeper, finding out ways and becoming my own doctor, becoming my own self-care advocate. And I'm a very organized person, so I ended up putting folders together of what I learned. And then I was looking at the biggest advocates of thyroid and hormones and menopause. I didn't get diagnosed with Hashimoto's autoimmune thyroiditis and low thyroid until I was 42, because at the time I was trying to get pregnant. So I already had a child from when I was 36, but, you know, segue forward, new husband, new life, new everything, and it was just very odd. So now I feel better than I probably felt and look better than I probably looked when I was in my late 20s, because I probably was struggling then and didn't realize it, you know? Then I was like a crazy maniac, did cardio every day and was eating diet foods. So the weight didn't really, I was pretty miserable as far as my lifestyle, because I was doing what every other woman did. That was a big mistake.
You were following the paradigm to a T, yeah. You were supposed to do, right?
Yeah. And I was probably in some form of adrenal fatigue too, that I wasn't really aware of. And so then all of a sudden when it started to snowball, and I, you know, my friends, you know, call me the Energizer Bunny, and I'm 60 now, but I feel like I lost a bunch of years trying to figure out what was going on with me. So I made it my mission to kind of, I'm going to put this out there that, you know, every time you go to the doctor and they say, your numbers are fine, it's like, well, what about when you have 10 symptoms? And what about how do you sleep at night? And you don't just gain 12 pounds when you're eating really clean. You know, so there's so many questions.
Well, can I ask about the testing? In the beginning, was it, I've heard, and still some doctors do, it's like, we're just going to test thyroid stimulating hormone.
Exactly. The famous TSH levels, which could be something from 0.8 to 4.2 or some astronomical.
Yeah.
The gray area is so massive. And when someone tells you you're on the fence of low, I mean, that to me sounds like I'm really low. Yeah. And then at the same time, I went through menopause a few years after that and that same testing again. Well, you're on the low, you're really, really low testosterone, but women don't really need that. I'm like, really? I was a pretty heavy duty weightlifter and now anything that I do, I feel like I can't keep the muscle. I'm too tired. My recovery takes too long. So again, where, you know, I'm explaining to the doctor something and then we start going to someone who's a little more cutting edge and whole body scenario instead of just numbers on a graph, you know.
But Don, you don't have a medical degree. What? How could you possibly know more from searching online or anything than doctors?
Boy, that's for sure. My parents always tease me and say, well, thank God we can call you Dr. Don and we never had to pay for you to go to medical school. And I said, because it had the word school after it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm way better on my own. I can dive in and go 100% and find really good sources, which I have great access to really good sources now.
Right.
I had someone that I saw in integrative health that I was paying $450 to four times a year. When I finally left is when the last day that I was there. And she says, can you write down that information? I want to start passing this out to my other patients. I'm like, and I'm paying you $450. No, I think I'm going to start doing something on my own, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's when I really knew I had something that I could help people. My information was valid. You know, plus I had done hair for 30 years. So if you don't think I know what women have issues with and complain about standing behind
you're a psychologist too.
I'm a psychologist, right? Standing behind the chair, you learn what every woman wishes they had, which is more energy.
Yeah.
Because people say you wish you were thinner, you wish you were. I said no. Women wish, or most people wish they had more energy. Then you have the energy to shop for healthy groceries. Then you have the energy to consider working out. Then you have the energy to take a walk for mental clarity. So you don't have energy, which is obviously low thyroid and aging and all those things that we're told, you lose out on a lot of life, you know? So that's the huge part of it, the energy thing. So that's why my business is Constant Energy Fitness. My Gmail is Constant Energy Want. I mean, it's like everything's constant energy because I want it to be constant now. I don't want it dipping and dropping and no one knows why. You know, I feel like I can kind of gauge it a little bit now.
Yeah, energy is so important. I think men too. It's a hard subject to talk about just because it is so kind of a loose word. Like, what do you actually mean by energy? Like,
right.
Energy systems, where we can talk subtle energy. There's so many different ways. So,
oh, exactly.
It's a hard thing for people to understand. And often, I'd say the energy levels people have, it's slow decline over time, right? As you age, as the thyroid metabolism starts to go out the window, it's so slow, people don't notice it. That's why I like the herbs at my company, Lost Empire Herbs. A bunch of them, people, what I really aim for is people to feel like a noticeable difference in their energy levels. And that's great for the reasons you were saying. It's like the jump start to the system. When you have energy, then it becomes easier to do the things you should be doing, like eating better, exercise.
Oh, of course. 100%. And back to your herbs. I mean, that ashwagandha drops.
Yeah.
That to me, that's way better than a cup of coffee because I know those ancient healing methodologies that have been around for centuries are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happen to be tapping into that now and learning about that, where you still have rows and rows at the stores of the energy drinks that I'm just like, there's no crash and burn when you've got these really good, you know, medicinal type herbs that aren't from a doctor and they're not in a can with 500 things that sound like it was created in a lab. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I've really tried to get my whole group of women that I coach and people in my world more aligned with that way of thinking. You know, that's a whole other thing too. You have to change how you think because for years, women were told, you know, less food, more exercise, more cardio makes you more productive. No. So women feel guilty when they're not the superwoman that they're supposed to be. So everyone has these badges of, I follow this diet or I follow that. I consider myself a diet hacker. I follow a little bit of everything and as close to nature as possible. and as whole foods as possible, but it doesn't have a title, and I won't name any of the top titles right now that everybody follows because everyone knows them, you know.
Right. So,
you know, there's no Dawn diet.
You know, and, except and the one maybe, you follow, right?
Yeah, and then maybe I have a different need. You know, when I had a shoulder surgery a year ago, I thought I better take in more protein, and I better not eat as many carbs because I'm sitting on my butt recovering on my laptop more. I don't, you know, I'm not lifting weights. So, like, that's how I think. What's my activity level has to kind of dictate how I'm going to eat that day, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, it's not a calorie counting or anything like that. It's just a... energizing thing.
I haven't looked at calories in a long time, and I feel very good about that.
Same. Oh my gosh. I know. I'm coaching a woman online out of state right now, and she just is having the hardest time wrapping her head around, what do you mean we're not counting calories? I said, well, the only thing I'm counting is that you're getting about 8 grams of fiber a day, which is about not even a third of what you should get, you know. So it's just like that kind of stuff of, let's not talk about what you're adding and subtract. Let's talk about what nutrients you're missing.
Right.
That's what I tell people. I look for a missing link, and I'm sure you do too. Like when I was telling you my story and what things were going on with me, it's like, you know, you got to go that little bit deeper of, it's not just omitting a whole food group. It's like you're also omitting nutrients and things that your body might do well with metabolizing. Yeah, right.
I was just reading an article I did a while ago on thyroid to brush up on the topic because I knew we'd my model, as I'm still fleshing this out, if health is really about inputs and outputs, right? Coming into the body, and we look at the physical level, like micronutrients, macronutrients included in there. This is important stuff. If you don't have those, like no amount of positive thinking, no amount of exercise is going to make up for a mineral that is used or a vitamin that is used for enzymatic reactions in the body for your hormones to actually function, right?
So exactly.
You need to be
that's the thing, and that's what I talk to women about, you know, constantly, is that you can, you know, you don't have to be a doctor and you don't have to be on a medication to still be able to manipulate to some degree whether your body works against you with hormones or for in your favor, you know. So, right, that input and the out, totally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, thinking about this, like hormones are super important. I've deep dived into all of them, especially around the sex hormones, looking at that. It's a big part of what we do and so many things that can support it. And often, like root cause is a interesting thing. And the more I think about this, like there is no real root cause. It's always like going back. You can always chase it back further.
Sure, but right.
Micronutrients, lack of them, like if that, there is a root cause, that's very
important. Oh, yeah, right. And that could be a simple one that can take someone to a really great level. Yep. You know, it's funny. I just recently coached an extreme athlete, and this woman has a PhD, and she's done what is the ultra marathons. She's also done the Ironman three times. And then her, you know, the verbiage is I eat clean.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean?
Clean does not mean it has a label that says it's all natural on it. And then you turn around the back and it's got 50 things that you can't even pronounce. You know,
right.
I said to her, if you can't read it, you can't eat it.
I eat clean. I eat healthy.
I know.
Every person has a different meaning for these. Like it's a
vague,
nebulous term. And a person that believes one diet versus another, completely different thing. So it's zero clue what you mean by that.
And you probably
don't even know yourself.
Well, exactly. And when you were speaking of, you know, the output type of thing. So I said, I had to come up with in my head to speak to this woman thinking, the first thing she said to me is, I'm not going to hire you if you're going to tell me to work out less. I said, I'm not going to tell you to work out less. Obviously, it's in your blood. You're an extreme active. It's what speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
But how sooner or later, I feel like some wheel is going to fall off the bus, whether it's already happening internally with too much inflammation. I said, your recovery and how your body recovers on a, you know, cellular level from the inside out so that you can keep doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, is what is of the utmost importance to me. And I knew from myself, When I turned 50, I did a bodybuilding competition as a personal goal to myself, you know?
Yep.
And I was squatting. I feel like I'm telling a story about someone else. I mean, I was squatting 180 pounds when I weighed 98 pounds.
Wow.
And I mean, now I could probably squat 115 on a good day, but I don't have to and I don't need to. But my intake of calories was quadruple of what it is now.
Right.
I try to explain that to any woman. You know, meeting with the coach and him telling me, you lift weights. Are you kidding me? You need to triple your calories. You need to triple your protein. You need to triple your water intake. And I was like, dude, I'm trying to lose body fat. But I knew in my head, and that's why I hired him.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But it's that barrier to get through with people of, this is how the body works, yours, mine, and everybody's, even though there's nuances with each one of us, you know.
Right, yeah, calories can be important in, like, bodybuilding competition. There's one place where you do want to count calories and be very
right. Interested in that, right? Especially when you're deficient and trying to get stronger.
If you're trying to be healthy, I don't
right. think
counting calories is necessary.
Not at all. No, that's why I say in different times in my life, my body has had different needs. And that's why I went to a coach that knows more about it than me. You know,
right.
you train weightlifting athletes, I will listen to you. If you train someone that's, you know, for some other, I don't know, Reiki or whatever, I'm going to listen to you, you know, so go to the experts, right?
I wonder if you had asked the client, like, if you could get the same, like, performance results, compete at the same level or better in your competition while working out less, like, spending less time, would that be of interest to you?
Well, you know what? We did have those kind of conversations, and it was more of, I think, what, and this goes back to women and how we view ourselves and what we've been told to. I mean, she was a very A++ personality.
Right.
And when she sent me, and I had met this person years ago in person. So now with COVID, I couldn't get see her in person. Well, I could now, but anyways, that's beside the point. So she sends me pictures of herself and telling me she wants to get rid of her belly. And my first thought is, women would kill you to hear you say that sentence, and they would die for that body. That skin so that you can bend, you know? I mean,
right.
But her idea and what she
self-image
did.
Behind it, right?
Right. What her output was, though, for how strong she really did not appear to be very muscular.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew then when I dug into her diet and looking at her nutrients, macros and all that, not counting a single calorie, she was extremely deficient in protein, which to me meant, okay, you know, there's that argument of how much protein, too much protein, plant protein and all that jazz, but she was clearly way below what I would have recommended for how much she put out in strength, you know.
Mm.
Most of her activities were more cardio-based, so she was also very low fat. I mean, she was low fat, she was low carb, she was low everything, you know. But her brain is what kept her body going, which was even a little scarier to me, saying, I'll never tell you to stop working out. However, something in your body might make you stop working out because of not having the nutrient density that you need, you know.
Yeah.
So it is fascinating.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So going back to thyroid, this is one of the biggest, largely undiagnosed problems. Almost every, especially women have it like 5 to 8 times.
More. 5 to 8 times more. Boy, that is the truth. And I think I've witnessed it besides my own. So I've witnessed it with so many women.
Yeah.
And those classic symptoms too. It's like the thinning eyebrows, the hair loss, the fatigue out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then it's a different fatigue. It's not like you can lay down or have a cup of coffee and be refreshed. It is like the deep down, you know, the cold hands, the achiness of your body that it just can't take another step. So all the brain power in the world sometimes doesn't make your physical body stand up and do that unless you end up with, you know, that reverse thing of forcing yourself because you have that kind of personality and then it hits you harder after. And then, you know, I didn't get sick, I didn't get colds, but if I was run down, whoo, baby, I was down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do take a compounded thyroid medication and it's very low and I get it monitored regularly. And I love my doctor. She's a DO and we work together. And she says she loves it when I come in. She always books off extra time because we just talk about people, how they live their lives and what they look for in their medical care instead of being a huge self-care, taking care of themselves and knowing that they have some degree of control, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Back to that whole thing of just because your mom got diagnosed with heart disease or your dad died of liver failure does not mean are you predisposed? Is it nature or nurture? Did you learn the behavior of the terrible foods and the sedentary lifestyle? And then you have a heart attack or is it, you know, I mean, there's just so many things to look at now.
So many factors.
Smarter than the gene pool, I hope, you know.
Right. Well, and as we learn more about epigenetics, like so much of nature is nurture that is like encoded into genes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Then you can go so many layers deeper because I think too that when you talk about thyroid and women going through menopause, that's the other thing, the hormone thing. Women talking about menopause being 7 years long. I'm like, well, you're just like, people like to name something. I said, how about if we take the word menopause out and thyroid out and say you're deprived of sleep, your house is filled with air freshener and downy fabric softener and all these chemical things. You could go for a super dig in all the things that I think are so toxic to us.
Well,
you
know, let's dive into that, because besides the missing micronutrients, the other side of it, and this has to do with the outputs like detox or eliminating from getting them in the first place.
Right.
The various chemicals, the halogens, all plastics, the various thyroid disrupting chemicals.
Of course, those endocrine disruptors.
What are some of the biggest ones? Like, pretty much any client comes to you is like, okay, get rid of this. You're just going to be better for it.
Right, exactly. So the first thing I say is all the chemical products that I love it when you tell someone, down to your skincare, down to what you wash your clothes with. And they're like,
is this why women have 5 to 8 times, you think, skincare and like,
you know what? Healthcare? I think it all plays a part. I think
compared to guys do not do this stuff. Like,
they sure don't.
Some guys barely even soap up, right?
No, exactly. No, guys walk around with their, you know, beer belly and their Speedo on and think they're hot as anything. And women stand in front of the mirror and put on 15 more layers of cellulite cream, more layers of spray tanner. Yeah. They put more perfume on, and now you've just created the biggest toxic hormonal dump. And speaking of that, then they're constipated because they don't get enough fiber, and they got all these other things that just make their bodies not work right. So I just think, to me, I think, and this could be my own thing from what I've experienced, what I've asked in my little, you know, questionnaires of, like I said, standing behind the chair and having done this for 25 plus years and coached women only, is I think the women that have the women that I've known that have the biggest issues with weight and energy levels, they definitely have 100 scented candles, the best air fresheners, the scented hand sanitizers, and the things hanging from their car that makes everything smell, to me, horrible. Yeah. It hurts my brain when I smell that stuff. I just think
learn what it does to you, so it's a warning signal, right?
It is. I think my brain is telling me for a reason, get away, breathe fresh air. Then you go to take your dog for a walk, and all you smell is someone's dryer sheets coming out of the house, you know? But all those things, I don't think if you're living in a small house with closed windows all winter, I don't think breathing in, so why would that not be any more detrimental to your health than smoking a cigarette? It's going in your lungs. It's going on your skin. It's creating some toxic end result. You know, I think it all goes together, from skin care to washing your clothes with something like that, to what we eat, what we put on. And then, you know, you go, I'm more into now even looking at the soil, you know, our soil quality. I don't spray my yard. I hand pick my weeds out of my yard. I know my neighbors get their yard sprayed. Of course, people tell me it's a waste of time. It's the spray is going to drift into your yard. I'm like, okay, but I'm not walking across. It's probably going to be less. I mean, you know, I don't live in a bubble, and I'm not like so snobby to that stuff that.
Well, that's the thing. So even if you only eat organic, you don't use anything bad, like we're still getting it because it's in the very air that we breathe. Like BPA from plastics can aerolize, and then it's acting as a xenoestrogen in the body, having these effects. So
we can't
eliminate it, but we can do a whole lot to minimize.
And I'm telling you, like when I was younger and when the snowball effect started to happen with the all of a sudden weight gain and then this hair loss, and then my eyebrows, and my mom had gone through this horrific time where I literally thought my mom was going to die. She got so lethargic, and her hair and her skin, she was laying on a couch, and this was, let's see, I was probably 35 then, because it was right before I had my son, and I remember thinking, oh my God, if my mom's going to die this young, I better get to work and have a kid so she can have a grandchild, and blah, blah, you know, your brain gets up. And then when I used to go to the doctor with her, and the doctor was like, well, here's your synthroid. There's not really anything else you can do about this. It's got to be something else. And I wasn't invested like I am now in that kind of a health world. But, you know, that was 20-some, 30-some years ago. But, boy, I wish I could go back in time with what I know, because my mom would never have gone through And she went to, you know, she called him a witch doctor at the time, went to this guy that she came home with all these little tinctures and all these little, and you'll laugh at this doctor, his name was Dr. Nugent. And my mom could, I said, just think of Ted Nugent. Yeah. I said, the guy lives on the land. He's got to have something in there that he knows about. Yeah. But
that brings up some interesting points. I want to talk about medication. So yeah, the doctor, the standard frame is, if you're low on thyroid, then we fix it by giving you thyroid medication, right?
And
there's ones that are actually like using the pig glands or different things.
Yep.
So there's natural ones versus the synthetic ones. Can you talk about that? And also I've heard many times once a person is on thyroid medication, it's really hard to get off. Can you speak to that?
And there definitely, and there's still a lot of controversy. I think that even right now, between the combination of the medical field, the holistic, the integrative, all those together still have very conflicting, you know, views on it. I personally believe that as long as your symptoms are lowered, like the way I am right now and the way the women that I've spoken to that either went from zero medication, I never want to take a medication, but had heart issues and things like that. Conventional medicine is there for a reason.
Right.
If you are taking part in it and trying to understand it, not just because your doctor says take these seven medications.
Mm-hmm.
So I have lowered my medication because I think I've upped things in my life that I have taken control over that I didn't think was in my control before. I take a compounded T3 and T4. That's the other controversial thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
So you're taking a thyroid medication, but is your thyroid still producing the right hormone? Is it converting to the hormone it's supposed to be? That gets so deep and crazy that, you know, so I did create a product that actually I call it, you know, the blueprint to thyroid health, because it walks you through, whether you've been diagnosed or not, what questions to ask your doctor. You know, it seems so daunting to go to an endocrinologist and they say, A, you're this, here's your medication, bye. So you take your medication and 3 months later, you still feel the same or worse and you're still putting on weight. So what, do you go back and get more medication? No, it's like you start to look at what are the other factors and what are the other numbers. So there's a lot of T3, T4, then there you get the, like we talked about,
first
the hormones,
T3, right.
The testosterone, the estrogen, all those hormones combined into either that hormonal shitstorm or one that is, you know, got you feeling good and got you looking at what choices you can make, just like any medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a diabetic isn't just going to say, okay, I'm taking my insulin now, so I'm good.
Right.
It doesn't usually, and you can see the healthy people with diabetes and you can see the people that, you know, leave it all into their doctor's hands because they either haven't been educated enough or open-minded enough or around the people that can help them know that they have options. There's so many options.
Right. Well, that speaks to is one of the things when I was reviewing my notes was cellular hypothyroidism. I don't know if you've heard that term or
only recently.
Resistance. Right.
Only
thyroid
recently.
Resistance. So it's similar. You brought up the diabetics and insulin. So this is insulin resistance. The body may be producing enough insulin, but it's not going into the cells right. And the way I think of that, the cellular membrane is the communication portal for the cell, and that's made up of fat. So if we have low quality fats like trans fats, for instance,
corn oil,
cells just are not going to be able to talk to each other. They're
right,
not going to
break able through to the barrier. It's like I feel like if, like you explain it to a layman, I say, imagine putting a film over all of your cells. That's these toxic membrane that you can't break through it to send the messages to the rest of the body to do what it's supposed to do. When you start stripping away all those, you know, invaders, and your body. You know, it goes back to, people always ask me, what detox do you follow? And I say, well, I try to eat well enough, move enough. I do some dry brushing. I drink a lot of lemon water with ginger so that my body is in a constant state of detoxifying naturally. I don't have to do a 3-day fat flush or, you know, guzzle down something that makes me run to the bathroom or something for 2 days and then I think I'm skinny or whatever.
Yeah. So with the the cells. So thinking of that, like hormones are chemical messengers. I think that's one of the best ways to think of them, whether we're talking about testosterone, estrogen, thyroid, it is communicating a message to the cell for it to do something. So that understanding that, we can look at different things. So yeah, there can be deficiency of T3 or T4. And I think it's useful for people to know that's the 3 and the 4 are iodine atoms.
Yes.
That's one of those critical nutrients. I want to touch back on that. But so you can have sufficient quantities of there and still be having these problems just because the cellular membranes aren't working right. And I think that speaks to one of our problems with testing as a whole. Yes, it can be definitely worth it to go into all the different numbers with thyroid or other issues you're having.
Sure.
But I don't think there's a test that can look at, is your cellular membrane communicating well at all?
Right. Right.
And that can actually be the more of the root issue than the hormones themselves.
Right. Right. And I think that people don't even know what to ask.
Right.
And I think that, you know, just like, you know, the good old Dr. Google, you don't really know where to search. So it is very overwhelming. And mm-hmm. I have so many people that contact me and say, there's no way that you have a thyroid issue. How can you act like that and do what you do and look like that? And I'm like, it took years of me figuring it out. So you don't have to do the legwork anymore.
Right.
Let me just please give you what I know. And even if you start applying some of it to, you know, it's not that hard work, because when you start to realize your body is meant to feel better and it's right. a more natural state for it, if you start getting rid of those things, and it doesn't happen fast either.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's my philosophy, is we should be energized, feel good, be healthy pretty much all throughout life. We're all going to die at the end. Please do recognize
yep.
that. And there
right.
should be like a short, sharp decline at the end. That's like ideal to go. That's our
sure.
birthright. So if that is not happening, then something's wrong. And doctors are great in certain circumstances, like your
right.
arm being ripped off. Outside of that, less
right.
so. And you just think, your general doctor, right? They've heard about thyroid in school, probably have not studied on it
sure.
since then. So they're going by testing protocol that is, there's the, what do they call it? The translational lag, right? So 20 years of science ago, they're operating
yeah.
off that paradigm, because that's when they learned it. As opposed to going to a specialist that's going to be much more up on the subject, be able to run the proper test, be able to diagnose and give better recommendations.
And hopefully listen to more of what you're experiencing. Because even though there's those 5 or 6 things across the board that seem to be the norm when you have, whether it be menopause or thyroid issues, there are still things that, you know, you'll have someone say, but I have this and I never read that was one of the symptoms. Okay, so we are all very unique, even though we have a lot of sameness. There's a lot of things that my body might present something totally differently. And then you can go back to the nature nurture. Well, I was raised in a very activity-based household and a go-getter mentally and physically. So mm-hmm. that's probably a part of my chemical and nurtured makeup, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that will make me not want to lay on a couch because I didn't think I was allowed to, you know.
So yeah.
there, you know.
So with iodine being part of these thyroid molecules, in your experience working with people, how many people are deficient on this? I always like recommend like simple, take iodine, see if it helps. If I'm talking to someone with thyroid, in your
right.
experience.
So now what? So here's the thing that, so I was also diagnosed with Hashimoto's autoimmune thyroiditis. I was
okay.
actually diagnosed with that before I was diagnosed with low thyroid.
Yeah.
So I think that what I've learned throughout the years too, is I was supplementing with iodine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had read that it was, if you had the symptoms of low thyroid, and this was in the very beginning stages of my really digging into all this, I think that actually made it worse for a while.
Mm.
Because, you know, well, first of all, people have to know you're not just putting more salt on your food. And then, you know, there was everything from kelp supplements to iodine infused this and that. So I was toying around with that, suffering from massive hair loss, getting super, super tired. So I just started, instead of adding more supplements to my life, I started taking less to
yep.
see, okay, can I just work this with whole foods? So I think in answer to your question though, Logan, I believe that for low thyroid, iodine is essential. I don't think that many people in the United States are deficient with it because of iodized salt. But if you go to the healthier, I'm making the quotation marks right now, most people don't even use iodized salt anymore.
Right.
They use Himalayan sea salt and they use all these healthy salts that don't have any iodine. So you could go a little bit backwards and say, well, we might have been getting too much before. Now people are going low salt and different salt seasonings. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting any iodine. You know, I think it's in the places that have the most shellfish and in Japan and places like that, no one's deficient in iodine.
Right. And seaweed, certain kinds have tons of.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a, I know it's kind of a, not a solid answer, but I think if you're, what I've read and what I've learned, and I think.
Biology, there's never a solid answer.
No, there's no solid answer, but I think low thyroid, you should probably get your iodine levels checked. But Hashimoto's, from what I've learned and what I experienced with a couple other people as well, was don't supplement on your own with iodine. You know, I mean, sure, there are some stellar supplements out there, and I have a cupboard full of tinctures and drops and, you know, things, just so that I can stay energized and focused. And I know that no matter how healthy I eat, I can't get every single nutrient I need, you know.
Right.
So supplements are a really cool tool, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a one a day.
Right.
People always ask me, do you take one a day? I go, no, I take about 20 a day, but one of them is drops, one of them is a powder in my smoothie, one of them is a this. You know?
Here's the rule of thumb. If it's a multivitamin in a single capsule a day, then it's crap. Honestly,
you're flushing it down the toilet. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a good rule of thumb. Generally,
no, that's a good one for people to understand. But that's a harder rule of thumb because you can't just buy one magic pill.
Right. Yeah. You know? Need at least six of them.
right.
And speaking of the toxins along with it, so with iodine, we have the halogens, so bromine, fluorine, and chlorine, right, which come from various things, water supply.
Right.
Been a lot of baked goods and whatnot. And my understanding is iodine, if you are deficient in iodine, like these other molecules will take the place within the body. Including the thyroid gland. So one of the parts of this is it's not just lack of the nutrient, but also how it could play with these other toxins.
Right. Yeah. That's,
I mean,
that's such a huge part of it too. And I think you get to that, what the body's doing cellularly turns into people feel like they don't have any control. So I think that for a lay person, it's if you start having symptoms and you aren't sure and you are working with someone that you feel like is an integrative health specialist, not just an endocrinologist, you know, I did go to one of those for a while and then I went to the complete opposite so I could combine the two.
Yeah.
I'm furthest away from an endocrinologist right now. I will tell you that. And that's where I started feeling way better. It isn't just the medication. So back to that, how things communicate on the cellular level. I think that we're so unaware of what's in our foods, in our water. And then you go back to those, so I'm drinking filtered water all day. Well, doesn't that strip out the minerals too? Right. So it's almost like, you know, I try to drink some mineral water along with my purified water. And I know it sounds overwhelming for people, but when it gets to be, it's just your lifestyle, it doesn't turn into, it's not stressful. Mm-hmm. It's just how it gets to be. And you feel like, I feel great when I'm drinking purified water. And I feel great when I add in a glass of, you know, mineral water. So, you know, I mean, some of those things, that different nutrients that I think leach out of our body that we're so unaware of, that, I mean, you're digging deep there. You personally are, you know.
This goes back a little bit to what we're talking, skincare. So people have a hard time changing diet. We have so much emotional baggage. When I'm helping someone with their health, I tend to stay away from diet. Obviously it's super important and
sure.
I want to get there, but I feel like there's easier wins in other places. Do you feel like, do women oftentimes like, no, I can't get rid of my skincare, I'll look hideous? Does that tend to be one of the things that, like, the easiest places to go? Just try to lower your toxic load.
That's funny. No, skincare is probably at the bottom of the list because of exactly what you said.
Yeah.
So when I talk about toxic load of, environmental things, when I start out with the scented products, then I go from the scented products to what you're cooking your food in. Are you microwaving your food in a plastic container covered with saran wrap? I mean, oh God, that makes me scared to even be in the kitchen.
I don't even use a microwave anymore.
Yeah, I mean, so stuff like that. And people think I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, you're asking for my help. You're wondering why you're miserable. You're overweight. You're lethargic. Your skin is lax. So these are all the little things that you might not think matter, but when you start breaking these down and really look at these with a intelligent thinking mind. Do you need scented candles? Do you need scented laundry? Can you stick something on a pan and turn the gas on and heat it up in 1 minute longer than if you stuck it in the microwave for 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Is it a little teeny more labor intensive? You know, maybe. But at the end of the day, if you're miserable, so back to the skincare thing. So it's even starting with, there's some great product lines, and I even have a list that I recommend to people. And then I will also say, hey, I go to a dermatologist and I get, facial lasering done every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that bad for you? I say, well, lasering on a surface level of doing something like that versus putting something that's going into your pores, into your bloodstream every day.
I'll take light over a chemical glop.
Oh, people literally argue, well, I put it on my skin, it doesn't go in. I said, do you know what an estrogen patch is? Do you know what the non-smoking patch is? You know what a pain patch is? Lidocaine patch? There are all these patches that you stick it to your skin because it goes directly into your bloodstream,
Right.
Oh, is that the same? I'm like, your skin is the biggest, most open organ with all those pores waiting to pull in everything terrible. So yeah. Even just eliminating little bits and pieces here and there, even like the lipstick thing. Like, I'm not a lipstick person, but I think of women that put on their lipstick and then lick it. You're like, why don't you just take a bite out of that lipstick? And what are those made with dye and fish scales or something heinous like that?
Yeah.
I'm all about makeup. I like to be glammed up a little, but I don't know, certain things kind of, as I've gotten older.
And there's natural, more natural and like completely natural versions.
Of course. Right.
So
right.
You got to start with where you're at and make small steps. Some cases it's really easy. Some cases it is definitely harder to do.
And I think if you prioritize and then each person by themselves, you have to look at that person as a whole.
Right.
Is this a person that wants to go in 100% hard? Like, tell me what I'm not allowed to eat. Tell me what I'm allowed to eat. I can do that. I mean, but is it sustainable and is it enjoyable? See, that's my thing. I don't do anything just for this. I mean, like, I have said the line, if someone sends me or for instance, the ashwagandha drops. Mm-hmm. Does it taste fantastic? No.
Nope.
No. Do I swish it around my mouth for 10 minutes? No. I either dropper it down and smile because I'm doing something healthy for myself, or I put it in a little shot of my ginger water. So, when people say, oh, what does it taste like? Or, oh, with the face. Or I'm like, okay, you just told me that you're miserable on 10 reasons. So I'm giving you a real simple one and done remedy one time a day.
Right. Yeah, I think it speaks to that. The phrase that came to mind is convenience is killing us. Like, everything that's convenient right now, and it's only in more recent years and still not general, like, public knowledge, how bad so much of the stuff we do is for us, because it doesn't, like, acutely make you toxic or anything. It's a slow, chronic buildup over time.
That's the truth. That is. It's funny. I even thought of something recently. You'll probably find that you probably know way more about this than me, but how back to the soil thing and how there used to be people that literally, I'm sure there are, like certain soils are beneficial that we need in our bodies, like literally like eating dirt. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's people that, there are people that eat dirt, not because they're crazy, because of the nutrient value, and they grow their mushrooms.
Microorganisms being the biggest
thing. Yes, they grow their mushrooms in a certain kind of soil, and mm-hmm. it's like, that's part of the whole deal. So if you go real deep and talk about what the vegetable is that you're eating, that the roots from the soil, from the nutrients, that's what is in your body and makes your body function or not function. And someone asked me before recently, how did you get into all this? I said, well, it started out that I was so fascinated by how the body worked. And then one day I thought, when the body doesn't work, then it becomes 100 times more fascinating. And then I really want to dig in,
Yeah. Yeah. Most people get into health, the vast majority, probably 99% of people, when either themselves or someone they love starts having massive problems. And typically what we're seeing today is when what the doctor recommends does not work for them, then they start seeking other solutions. And we live in the information age, so.
I know. And I think you probably feel like I do about this subject, but this whole COVID thing with everybody running 1,000 miles an hour to all of a sudden start boosting their immune system. I mean, I hate to
Are people doing that? Because it's CDC, who's not recommending that?
No, because for 25 years, I've been telling people and trying to help people and coach people through your immune system is something that you should be conscious of every day. Mm-hmm. So that if you do get sick, you already know you've got some powerful guys in there that are fighting for you instead of all of a sudden, oh my God, what if a germ touches my finger? I need to take some vitamin C or something. It's like, you know, I mean, just it's.
People would be surprised to know that there's germs and viruses everywhere all the time.
I know.
And we have a whole biome. We have viruses in us that are part of us.
And how about the whole antibiotic thing? We could spend another 3 hours talking about that. You're killing every good thing in your body because your nose was runny. And you went to the walk-in clinic and begged and got mad when they wouldn't give you the Z-Pack or whatever. I'm like,
It's crazy.
We're so out of balance, but I just feel like I love talking about this and I love connecting with people that you, I mean, you're smarter than me. I've got the layperson's experience, and I've spent probably 25 years doing a lot of really good research in really good places, and have some really intelligent advocates on my side that have really helped me through a lot of things. But I love speaking to someone that's got the whole chemical and the whole cellular stuff. I get it. I get that, too.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
I
did want to loop back to testosterone because, as you know, it's super important for women.
Yeah.
Just as important as for men, although men have like 10 times as much. That I think is really speaks to this is there's like 3 to 5 times as much testosterone coursing through your body than there is estrogen.
Right.
The main estrogen, like there's more quantity of it and it's super important. My understanding, I'm still pretty novel in researching this, but it's not thought of for women, but what we actually see is testosterone tends to go down before progesterone and estrogen do, which is a big thing around menopause. And I don't know
if
it's part of the reason women have more thyroid problem, maybe related to the lesser amounts of testosterone as well. Have you heard anything about that?
I don't know that that would correlate to why they would have a thyroid issue or low thyroid. It almost goes synonymous with the women that have gone through menopause mm-hmm. that I've spoken of. That's when they find out that they've probably all along been low thyroid. And at the time they also get their hormones checked. So mm-hmm. speaking to what you said, so when I got my hormones checked right after this whole menopause thing, right after being diagnosed, I find out that, you know, and back to that range. Well, of course, men are supposed to be in the hundreds where I think the woman's high was around, the woman's average is around 36. First time I got my levels checked, it was 2. Right. I'm like, well, okay. And then, you know, so right away, the particular doctor says, well, we're going to give you shots or a cream. Well, of course, then what happens right after that? I'm like, I don't know about that. Let's try a lower dose. I'll try it. Well, of course, then you start to grow facial hair. And I'm like, okay, that's not what I'm looking for. That's going to counteract that I want to be stronger, maintain my muscle mass.
Muscle bar mustache.
Yeah, and have a high libido. I don't want to be the dude with the stash, you know? It's not what I'm going for. My husband's 11 years younger than me. I think that would be detrimental to our life, you know? I'm like, that's not what I was talking about when I thought I should have my testosterone checked.
Yeah. Well, that's important because women, they typically, they think of that, like hear the word testosterone, that they're going to mm-hmm. be this huge bodybuilder, have a mustache,
right?
Acne, all that. And yes, that can happen at too high of levels, especially like if we talk bodybuilders, women that are into that testosterone, that can get you there. But an ideal range of testosterone is going to be super healthful and too low is maybe, that may be even more undiagnosed than thyroid problems?
I think it probably is because I literally had to ask my doctor to check my hormone levels.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're checking your thyroid. I'm like, well, there are other hormones that I think are playing into the same part. And, you know, when you try to explain to even someone medical, it even makes it worse because I say, I know how I felt 5 years ago. There's no way that...
This is science. It doesn't have to do with feelings.
I know. I remember one of the PAs at one of my doctor appointments when I told her about gaining the 12 pounds and saying, I think my testosterone is low. I have less muscle mass. I'm weaker. And she said, well, you just turned 50 and gained 12 pounds. What do you think you're supposed to weigh? And I'm looking at her thinking, All right, lady. I am petite. I am fit. I'm a weightlifter. And just because she looked like she needed to really take care of her health a little better, that's all I will say.
Yeah.
And was probably 10 years younger than me. She just equated to, well, you're older, you get fat, and that's just the way it is, babe. You know, and I'm like, right. I am having none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, I mean, there was a while that I supplemented with progesterone, mm-hmm. testosterone, estradiol patches. And I think that, I mean, that waxed and waned a few times too, because I monitor it and then I learned more about that. And I think that, I mean, a lot of good integrative health has a place, as long as you, again, you have to experience all the angles, and you have to, you can't walk into a doctor and say, my stomach hurts, you know? Well, when you, it just hurts. You have to at least go in there, whether it's your, you know, naturopath or your endocrinologist, and be specific and write down your three priorities, and then, you know, be able to either make a diary if you feel terrible. When are you tired? Are you tired every day at 2? Like for me, I would wake up super energized, like a horse out of the gate, 10 o'clock. I'd want to pull my car over because I thought I needed to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my progesterone at that time was so high, and then that doctor was having me take it in the morning. So then I go to the naturopathic doctor, and they're like, why are you taking this in the morning? I said, that's what the doctor told me to do. And this is when I was real new, you know.
Yes.
And they're like, that's a calming hormone. You should only take it at night. I'm like, oh, my God. Someone help me, you know. Then you have to turn into your own doctor, and then you have to realize you do know something about what your body feels like. And if you think something's wrong, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
When you get rid of all the mental things that make you overwhelmed. And, you know, I think most of the time when people think there is something wrong and they've bounced around it, they're probably right. Doesn't mean you need to take a new medication and go to a new specialist. It just means you need to maybe document how you're feeling, what you're feeling, how often is that? Is it over the course of 10 years or is it in the last 3 months? You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. just.
Yeah, they're. Medical system is kind of based on people abdicating their health, and there's plenty else to focus on in life, so that's where most people are and why it takes that ill health experience personally or family oftentimes to trigger
right.
people to go other directions. But the truth is, like, we all need basic knowledge of health, and I'm talking about more than you learn in school, because that's based on this medical model where I remember learning, like, oh, if you take more than 100% of any vitamin or mineral, then you're just flushing it out. Like, you never need more than that, the RDA of these things.
It's, right.
You need that. You need basic information. We definitely could do a better job educating people on this. I mean, that's why there's podcasts such as this. It's just.
Oh, and I think it is. I think it's interesting for people to learn this way, because it is a conversation. And when I do things like this and interviews that I've had with, you know, naturopaths, medical doctors, chiropractors, been guest speakers at some women's events, stuff like that. My hope is that you always take someone leaves with something they never thought of, something that they can actually do that they're interested in trying,
mm-hmm.
and not just walking away going, oh yeah, that was over my head, whatever. It's like, this stuff is so awesome to me, and I think it's so helpful. I just love this kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, and what you were saying, working with the different people, I think that's important. Like, recognize your health is your own. I mean, this Health Sovereign podcast, like, it's you yourself, and look at whether it's a Western doctor or functional
right.
medicine specialist or a shaman or whatever.
Exactly, right.
Like your board of advisors, the
right.
people that are helping, and they all have different perspectives. They're all going to make different recommendations.
Right.
And ultimately, it's up to you to experiment with them and try it out, see what works, and then.
Exactly. No one cares. Right. No one cares more about your health than you.
Hopefully.
Or maybe your mom. So it's like, you should really take it very seriously, not to the point of making yourself sick over it. Like some people, right. you know, they've Googled 500 times the one same symptom, you know. It's like, that gets a little overwhelming too, mm-hmm. but being smart, and I don't use the term common sense, because if it were common, people would have it. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's trying to find a couple different places to get information from, you know, mm-hmm. and like you said, a combination of, you know, Western medicine, Eastern medicine, like you said, the combinations of all the different options and modalities, and being open-minded to that there's something to be learned about your own body and to make it feel better, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Because ultimately, I mean, that's what it's about. You're the only one in there. And if right. you feel something is wrong, like, I mean, how many times do we have to hear about doctors dismissing people, especially women, of right. their symptoms? Like, oh, you're just a hypochondriac.
Oh, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That is the truth. And then, you know, and I think that's why they say women take more anti-anxiety medication. Women take more antidepressants. It's like, you know, I'm sure a lot of men can laugh and say that's because you're crazy. And it's like, well, maybe we're crazy because some things do chemically happen in our bodies. And we were never taught or we never learned how to take care of ourselves from our grandmothers or our moms. This is pretty new still. Right. And I think that's why it's exciting that there's people that are interested in branching out into, especially stuff that's been there for hundreds of years and used in for centuries in other cultures. That I love it when they act like, oh, medicinal mushrooms, they're a new thing that they're using to study cancer with. You know, John Hopkins and Cleveland Clinic. And I'm like, how many thousands of years have those been used in Japan and mushroom tea and all these, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean,
great to see modern research back up these things that have been around.
No, that is fantastic. I get excited about that too. You know, it validates that it's real and it's been around for a long time, and hopefully it gets more on board with stuff like that. You know?
Just the more we look like ashwagandha, I know fairly recent study just showing that working with people with non-clinical hypothyroidism, that was a good one. And that we didn't really get to that, but the whole adrenal fatigue, how that's related into the thyroid, those tend to come together because it has to do with the messing up of all the hormone signaling pathways and the chemicals.
Right.
Hurting so many different things.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that, you know, but people will say, well, so if you're low testosterone, just have your doctor give you testosterone. Well, then that alters the other production of the other hormones. They're trying to get that synergistic balance. You don't just take a ton of one and all of a sudden everything's fine and cozy. It's like, no, it's that getting the balancing act, and it's not a one and done thing. It's usually something that it's not just one factor. So it's a lot. You have to want to feel good, and everybody should.
Yeah. So that just kind of came into my mind. It's like the Western medicine is built on like a reductionist materialist philosophy. And even though most people probably don't even know what those words mean.
Yeah, right. I'm laughing at that.
About medicine, that this kind of bleeds over to them where they're, okay, I have this problem. What's the like one fixed solution? Not recognizing the complexity of our biology, how one hormone is connected to 50 other hormones. One nutrient does 10,000 things within the body. And unfortunately, like, I wish it were easier, but this is complex stuff that we're working with.
Right.
And so it's important to gain like a base knowledge of it. And when in doubt, like, more natural seems to work well. So
I agree too. And you're not making something up in a lab to make you feel better right now, you know, you know, we all know how the one medication to make you feel better, it gives you a side effect that you need the other medication for. And they say, what do they say? The average person over 50 is taking 5 medications. Well, if that's the case, I should be taking 6 or 7 or 8. You know, I think I'm doing pretty good with my thyroid medication. That's a compounded, you know, that's the T3, T4 compounded. It's actually been lowered in the last year or so. And I feel great. I feel, you know, I feel fantastic. So,
Yep, the medications have their place.
Exactly, right. And there's not and like I've already said, it's not like I don't do a whole lot of other things on the outside, including mindset stuff, you know. Right. I don't think that's perfect.
That's how I kind of look at it. Like, taking a drug is like extreme. There's time and place for that. Then more natural stuff, we have herbs or whatnot. Ideally, if you can just like lifestyle, just your normal diet, how you move, mindset, all that, that keeps you healthy, then you need less of these bigger interventions to go there. And even if you start there, like, go to an endocrinologist, you see you're really low, testosterone, whatever it happens to be, then notice, can you start to wean yourself off that? I think that's a good approach. It's not the approach many people take, but I think
it isn't
your way to go.
Right. No, I think so too. As long as there's people like us, and there's a lot of us, I've met a lot of people like you and I in our group and in our world, that I think if we keep getting this out there, and, you know, that's what I'm so passionate about, is really helping people educate themselves in a simple, doable way. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, they don't have to know the cellular basics of how T3 to T4 converts or any, I mean, but just the like you said, the basic foundational understanding of what you put in your body and on your body, and breathe in and cook in does have an effect on how you move, how you feel, and certainly how you look, you know? And how you think at the end of the day, because if you're stressed out that you feel like you look terrible and you're too tired, then your brain just gets sluggish too, you know?
Absolutely. All tied together. Well, Dom, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for this. Where can people go to find out more about you and your work?
Well, I have a blog, which is constantenergyfitness.com. And then I will give you a link to my thyroid offer, which is called the Thyroid Factor. And we can put that in the below in your link, however you're going to do that.
Yeah. So this is Health Sovereign podcast number, I believe, 46 here. Go to that. You'll find the show notes, transcript, all of that is available. Thank you so much, Don. It's been wonderful.
Thanks, Logan. This has been a blast. I love having this conversation. I appreciate you.
At Lost Empire Herbs, we guarantee our herbs will change your life or your money back. More energy, mental focus, better sleep, sex, hormones, workouts, and more. Unlike the vast majority of supplements out there, with us you can notice a feelable difference to perform at your peak, or you don't have to pay for them. That's what performance herbalism is all about. Get started by going to lostempireherbs.com and take our new quiz to find the right herbs for you.